Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today and the opportunity to share God's word and reflect upon what Jesus is saying to churches in the early chapters of Revelation. Today we come to the church at Pergamum, and it's interesting that the opening line is, "These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword." This is really, you know, looking back to that powerful vision that John has of Jesus. He was the one who held the seven stars, which is referred to in the letter to the Ephesian church. He was the one who's the first and last, which is the reference to the Smyrna church. And now the Pergamon church is introduced as under the authority of the one who has the sharp double-edged sword. Jesus says, "I know where you live." You know, sometimes we may want to say to people, "Do you realize where I live? Do you know that I'm living in a particular situation? And if you know that place, you know that I am in a very, very tough place." Now, sometimes there can almost be what sounds like a competition, that the place where I live is far worse than the place where you live. But I believe Jesus is saying straight away, "I know where you are, and I know it's tough. I know it's hard. You don't need to explain that to me, because I'm very aware of it." Even to the extent of a description where Satan has his throne. It seems that there was a very real satanic hold. And again, we're just aware, especially if you're privileged to travel to different parts of the world, there are strongholds. And it's not always easy to define, and it certainly isn't very easy to explain. But there are definitely areas where the enemy seems to be exerting more power than others. One of the things that had happened was there'd been a martyr, this man Antipas. We have no record of it in the scripture, like we would have a record if they said Stephen. We know in Acts chapter 7 he's stoned. But here's a faithful servant who was put to death because of his faith in Christ. Well, the Lord knows that they are in this very, very satanically strong area, but they're seeking to live for him. However, there is a few things to challenge. The teaching of Balaam, who wanted Balak to entice the Israelites into sin, and the Nicolaitans, who were into, it seems, fleshly attitudes and a kind of a poor morality where things of the flesh were to be indulged and it didn't affect your spirit, sexual immorality. There's a lot of things going on, and Jesus says, keep free of it. You've got to keep right out of it. And yes, I know where you are, I know the problems you face, but that's never an excuse to give in to immorality, just a fleshly desire, just to things that are false. You must always resist sin and things that are false. And there is the promise again that those who overcome, there are resources for them. Remember, the children of Israel, even in the desert, they could have manna and they could have quail. God's people can find resources in the midst of the most awful times by his grace. Let's pause, let's have some worship, after which my good friend Patrick will help me reflect, help us reflect on this letter to the church in Pergamum.
Dare to live, dare to dream again like a child. the desires of your heart. Though the tucks away, battered and bruised, get up off the floor. It's time to stand tall. We were born to live. To reign in life, live the dream and fly like the eagle. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Broken dreams, now just a whisper.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard to look further at Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, which is the letter to the church in Pergamum. So, Richard, again, lots of little mysteries in this letter, as there are throughout Revelation. And we start with the double-edged sword. What meaning can we attach to that?
Well, I think that clearly a sword with a double edge wielded by someone who knows what they're doing is going to inflict twice the damage.
Hmm.
And therefore, there is the sense in which the power of Jesus to expose, cut into that which is wrong and that which is evil is great.
Okay. Now, in the letter, the place where they live, Pergamum, is described as the city where Satan lives. And you talked about how practices that were very contrary to God were going on here. And it seems that these practices have infiltrated the church.
Yes, I think that's always a danger. You know how if an animal were to stray into your house and make a mess, you can clean up the mess, but you may still detect the smell of that mess for some time.
Mm.
And I think that the church just needs to totally get rid of any mess and needs to, as it were, disinfect and to thoroughly cleanse where things have gone wrong. Because otherwise there will still, as it were, be a smell of what has gone on. It's got to be dealt with very thoroughly.
So do you think it's a kind of principle that where a church is in the middle of a particularly godless place, you know, it runs the risk of being affected by that godlessness, for want of a better word.
That's right. I mean, some people obviously do it in a very ritualistic manner, and that cannot be helpful. But to actually go around a home pleading the blood of Jesus and declaring that this home, whoever it was inhabited by in the past, now belongs to Jesus, that's a very real thing. It makes a difference. My wife and I, we've known that in certain situations personally, declaring that cleansing work of Jesus. And sometimes, you know, we are living in places where there can be great evil has gone on around, and it's good to deal with it, to pray about it, and we can pray effectively in the name of Jesus.
And there's a call here in verse 16 to repent. Obviously, a familiar concept that we see throughout the Bible. What do you think the letter is getting at in this context here?
Well, repent is always a change of mind, and a change of mind that will lead to a change of action. And therefore, this immorality, false teaching, and indulgence, there has to be a renewed mindset which says this isn't on, this is wrong, we must not have this. And so changing your mind, agreeing with God, God says it's wrong, and so you say, I was not seeing it wrong, I was not doing much about it, I was neglecting and just letting it pass by. Repentance means I'm now going to see things as God sees it, I'm going to react as he reacts, and I don't want it here anymore.
And then the promise that we see in this particular letter is that the people who overcome will be given a white stone with a new name written on it. What does that say to us?
Well, I believe it's a kind of a hint, a reference to the fact that in Christ we have a new life. We are new creations in him. And it, talking about manna, talking about the white stone, the new name, new resources. We've got something fresh to draw upon as believers. We don't have to draw upon things like the world does. We can draw upon the truth that is in Christ. And we haven't just got an external salvation, it's internal. God has changed our hearts, and from that changed heart we seek to invite good things into our lives.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the book of Revelation in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.